Welcome back, everybody, Hoops HD fans. This is our Under the Radar podcast. For those of you that did not watch our bracket rundown show, which is up there somewhere, stop this podcast, go watch it, right?
Yeah. You need to watch it before you watch this because it's the first 46, 48 spots on the bracket. So,
And for those of you that are cheating, you can look down there and see the finished bracket, but that is cheating. And you're just now... maybe do a little Men in Black flashy thing yourself and forget that. So I'm your host, Chad Sherwood, joined by David Griggs, John Salica, and Brian Black back with us again. Your trooper here going through both of our podcasts tonight with the three of us.
Glad to be here.
Can't quite hear you there. We're going to try to get your volume fixed there, Brian. We almost lost you there for a second, but... What we like to do in these shows is start off with a feature under the radar conference. Well, I guess let's start with a definition. John, let me ask you, what does it mean to be under the radar?
Well, outside of the five major conferences that you see in the college football playoff, along with the Big East, the Atlantic 10, the American, the Mountain West, and the West Coast Conference, we tend to focus on the remaining 22 conferences in Division I. Plus our team of the people in Cal Baptist.
Yep, having a great year.
What we're going to do is let's start with a feature conference. We are going to go through the rest of our bracket rundown and the rest of the single bid leagues in a moment here. But we want to hit on our feature conference here, especially because, John, you had a chance to catch them live Mid-American Conference hoops last night, I believe. Am I correct?
I had the western leg of that trip, and that was with Mother Miami taking on defending champion Kent State. And Miami actually jumped out to a 36-8 lead in that game last night. The final score was a little bit more respectable, but Miami was in complete control. And unlike the game against Western Michigan where they blew a big second-half lead, they held on to this one.
Right. Miami 7-7. Wow. They're not entirely awful.
But what we've got here now is Ball State, who had the huge win over Notre Dame earlier this year. Buffalo, though, 3-0. Brian, who are you liking in the Mid-American right now?
Well, right now, I think SUNY Buffalo. I mean, they're 3-0 in league. Who do they have left to play? Let me come check their schedule coming up. They got Miami University next. Have they played Ball State yet? Yeah, I think
I just put their profile fact up on screen here. That was a big win earlier this week when they did knock off Ball State. Not only beat them, but beat them by 20 points.
Beat them bad, yeah, real surprising.
Yeah, SUNY Buffalo has been probably the biggest surprise for me in the MAC so far. Just in terms of eye test, I've only gotten to watch them play a couple of times and bouncing around between all of these, quote unquote, smaller conferences. I like them so far.
All right, and I lost this page here. There it is again. David, in terms of the rest of the league, though, you mentioned, Miami, Ohio, not that bad of a season so far. Bowling Green showing a bit of a pulse as well at 11-5. A couple teams that we thought would be a little bit better out of the West, such as Western Michigan, a little bit disappointing, I guess, although 10-6, not that awful.
Well, it's not awful, but we were expecting them to be a league front runner, and they haven't looked it so far. I mean, I know we're only three games in the conference play, but, Kent State, Akron, we're used to seeing them be the two best teams in the conference. Here they are, two of the worst. And like you said, Bowling Green, Miami, two teams that we're used to seeing not do well at all, aren't doing great, but they're doing much better than what they typically do. And Buffalo, again, they went out, they scheduled big out of conference. They really didn't get that many big wins. I don't think they can get inside the bubble, but wow, what an impressive showing the other night over a Ball State team that I think had won 6 or 7 in a row.
But it's also a nice turnaround for Bowling Green because let's not forget Chris Jans was also their head coach a couple of years ago.
Before yeah, he was.
Ended up getting fired because of an off-court incident.
Yeah, he did really well there while he was there and seemed to have them turned around until he – well, completely. He just went out partying with me.
They got the upcoming in the MAC on the screen there. One game note, but that Ball State team on the road at Western Michigan on Saturday. That should be a game. That could be an interesting game. Buffalo's got a pair of home games that are winnable coming up this week. It's Miami and Northern Illinois. But I think on that note, let's go back to the bracket, the seed list that we built on the prior show here. And you can see that we did start already by putting two under-the-radar teams in during that show, starting with New Mexico State out of the WAC. So let's head right back to our standings, actually. And John, how about this New Mexico State team? How good is this
team? It's the MAC.
It takes a second, okay? Calm down.
Well, you have to put the MAC up there. I mean, you need to be more prompt here.
New Mexico State, huge win at Chicago State last week.
Woo! Boy.
Yeah, they started off a little slow in that game, but second half they completely turned on the Jets. But as I've said a couple during last week's bracket rundown, I actually like New Mexico State above the first four because we already saw what they did with their win against Miami and the close loss against USC in the Diamond Hen. But even the loss to San Diego and St. Mary's, certainly respectable, but that's about as good as you're going to find compared to other under-the-radar teams go.
They do have a loss to San Diego. It's not a deal breaker, but I mean, San Diego, while they are West Coast.
Yeah, we're still kind of breaking up a little bit there, Brian. But David, let me ask you this question. Hopefully we can get that fixed up in a second here. But New Mexico State, huge week this week with probably their toughest, definitely their toughest road test of the season.
Oh, yeah.
At Grand Canyon tomorrow night.
Yeah, that one's going to be a fun win. And it's such a high-stakes game because, like Stalica kind of alluded to, if they can run the table in this conference or only drop one, I don't think they'll need the automatic bid. But that means having to win at Grand Canyon. This is probably this in Utah Valley are the toughest obstacles standing in their way of being able to win out in the league. It's going to be – really, I mean, this isn't going to get any national attention, but on a regional level, the game's going to be sold out. It's going to be a great atmosphere. You're going to get to see a really good New Mexico State team take on a Grand Canyon team that's also good and that's really tough to beat at home. It's just going to be a fun, fun basketball game.
Yeah, Grand Canyon's a team that is really on the rise. Dan Marley's a good coach. I like them, especially I would not be surprised if conference tournament time, if Grand Canyon's able to sneak in and win that conference tournament.
Yeah.
Well, the other team that we put in during our bracket rundown show also as a 12 seed was Middle Tennessee out of Conference USA. Brian, here's the Conference USA standings. Unlike New Mexico State, who may only have that one tough road test, Middle Tennessee has two other teams that are going to battle them this year in CUSA from what I've seen so far, I think.
We have Middle Tennessee. I do like them. I know Old Dominion and Western Kentucky are there, right there with them. But Middle Tennessee has decent wins. They had the close loss to Miami and USC. I know they did beat Princeton in that event. They lost to they also lost to Auburn, but they did beat the Ole Miss.
Yeah.
And Vanderbilt, Florida Gulf Coast, and did they beat Murray State too? Murray State.
I feel they like. Did.
Yeah, Murray State's a team that I feel like is right there too. 12, 13, 14. Middle Tennessee is obviously the team to beat in Conference USA. They have been for years, and they will be again. And I honestly think that, you know, if they run the table for the rest of the year in Conference USA, there's absolutely a chance that they could, you know, come close to at-large status if they don't drop any games they shouldn't. Now, there have been some close games, like, and we beat Florida Atlantic by 4, Florida International by 5.
Yeah, they needed overtime in that game.
Exactly. So, I mean, yeah, they're probably still the best team in Conference USA. But
yeah. Well, what about these two other teams? Like, you look at Western Kentucky, you know, the win against Purdue is really, really standing out. And they have some bad losses, one of which was to Minnesota, which at the time I didn't think much of it, but that's going to be more and more ominous because it was such a controversial call at the end of the game that ended up costing them. But off to a 3-0 start, if not the best overall profile, certainly the best win, maybe of any under-the-radar team, maybe of any team anywhere with that win against Purdue. If they can finish at or near the top, are they kind of close to the bubble, and are they good enough to do that, or is this a team that stubs its toe too often?
You're thinking of the Wisconsin loss, not Minnesota.
Wisconsin.
Western.
Yeah, I knew it was Wisconsin. I just said many.
Again, I mean, the huge game actually for these other two teams, Western Kentucky at Old Dominion.
Old Dominion tomorrow. Right. Yeah.
Yeah, and that's the – I think that's the upcoming game of the week here in CUSA, and maybe the upcoming game of the week in all the under-the-radar teams here, because these are probably two of the top five or six under-the-radar teams of the nation going head-to-head coming up here tomorrow night. But let's go back to our bracket actually here. And, David, let me start with you. Beyond New Mexico State and Middle Tennessee – from the CUSA and the WAC representative, who would your next best under-the-radar team be? Who should we put on the 12 line with those teams?
I honestly had Western Kentucky in over Middle Tennessee, but if that's the consensus, we'll go with them. My next team in is the team that we kind of talked about opening with at the beginning, and that's Buffalo. Okay. Solid RPI. I think that if they can dominate that conference, which when they blow out Ball State the way that they did, you certainly think they got it in them. Their metrics are going to be looking really good by the end of the year.
All right, so if we go Buffalo, we already discussed the MAC. Sorry, go ahead, Brian.
I was just going to say that, yeah, I just moved Buffalo up to the 12 line, especially with Missouri State's loss to Evansville. So, yeah.
Well, who else would it be on your 12 line there, Brian? Give me one more team.
Was it Missouri State was there, so I bumped them down. I was going to say South Dakota State from the Summit League. I deliberated between them and Murray State, to be honest. Murray State, as far as the Ohio Valley, passes the eye test really well compared to, say, Belmont and some others. But I feel like South Dakota State, I watched them almost take down Colorado. They've had a couple of close calls. I want to say with some others. I had their page pulled up here, and now I've closed it. But South Dakota State, of course, they were the champion last year, and they've had a lot of wins against, you know, not great teams. They almost beat Colorado. They beat North Dakota. They lost by 10 to Wichita State. They also lost to Missouri State. But as far as the Summit League goes, I'm trying to think of the challengers they're going to have there. I don't think Oral Roberts is much of a challenge. North Dakota State, I saw them play against, I want to say, USC. They looked okay, but I don't know if they're going to be able to take that. South Dakota State. But as far as eye test, I still like them in the 12, along with New Mexico State and Buffalo, as you guys were discussing as well.
Yeah, and I got the Summit League standings up there, and you can see our Oral Roberts after that surprising 3-0 start. Oral Roberts, a team I can't figure out this year. It's a couple of huge wins and a couple of horrible losses, but maybe we'll find out, David, a ton about Oral Roberts tomorrow night at South Dakota State.
Well, I think we're going to find out what we already know, and that's that it's more symptomatic of who they played than how good that they really are. I agree that South Dakota State's a really strong team.
I think last year we were calling them UTEP.
Yeah.
Slika, while you're speaking, go ahead and who would start out your 13 line?
Starting out my 13 line, I'm going to take the Catamounts of Vermont.
Even over the Missouri Valley champion.
Well, even Drake, who was actually atop there, they also had a loss tonight. So I will stick with my guns and say Vermont here.
Okay, let's go Vermont, and let's pull up the America East things on that note. David, Vermont, despite the fact that Anthony Lamb is out and is going to be out possibly until conference tournament time, is 2-0 now, picked up wins over UMBC. And tonight they won at Dartmouth in a non-conference game.
Yeah, I like this Vermont team. The injury is going to hurt them. But when you start to look at the rest of the standings, I just don't really think anybody can catch them. I liked this Albany team, but the thing about Albany, Senior Layden looked really good in some of their out-of-conference games, had a pretty bloated record, but off to kind of a surprisingly weak start here at just 1-2.
Yeah, and Brian, I got the upcoming schedule coming up on the screen right now for next week. Stony Brook is at Vermont, then Maine at Vermont. So Vermont, a pair of home games. Do you see them falling either one of those?
I don't think so. I'm trying to pull up their schedule here just a minute. I was looking at Maryland, Baltimore County, too. But, I mean, I think the only team that might be able to, I mean, Stony Brook, I don't see them being able to beat them. I mean, they didn't have a very good start to the year. And Maine is not good at all. They're not going to have any trouble there. So, again, their next several games, they should be favored in most of them. SUNY Albany, that could be a toss-up because they've been a little bit better than I thought they were going to be. And then, as I said, they got to go on the road to play Maryland Baltimore County on February 3rd. But, again, America East, Vermont's been the top of that for a while. And they have – I know they have looked okay. They don't have any, like, amazing wins. But compared to the teams that we're going to be talking about later, I feel that the eye test puts them, you know, about where you guys have said. I have them on the 13th line, so I would say entry.
Okay, well, actually, David, let me circle back around to you. Beyond Vermont, let's talk who would be up next on the 13 line.
It would have been Missouri State, but now I'm trying to think of who I like out of the Missouri Valley.
I'll tell you what, let's go ahead and pull up the Missouri Valley standings here in the script before we fill in that team. We'll make the final decision as we look at the MVC. But you see here, Drake is now 4-1, and everybody is either 3-2 or 2-3. It's a complete logjam there.
Yeah, they've kind of like, you know, the league's kind of collapsed on itself after putting up such strong out-of-conference numbers. You're like, oh, man, if one or two or even three of these teams can really pull away from the pack here. Got Northern Iowa coming out here at 0-5, inexplicable. But I guess if I'm going to pick anybody, I got to pick Loyola.
Did rebound with two road wins.
Yeah, Loyola, right. Nice road win tonight at Illinois State. They're the team that I would, if it's not going to be Missouri State, and I'm starting to think it might not be, although they still have the best metrics, Loyola is kind of the way to go. Brian, would you agree with that?
At Florida, or versus Florida. So that's really helpful.
Yeah, in terms of the upcoming schedule, that Drake team is at Northern Iowa. You know, I don't know that we have any games that really stand out there coming up this next week. But again, with that logjam, we should have some fun games. But so, wrong screen there. But David, let's go back and put Loyola Chicago in here as the MVC champion on the 13 line. And Brian, who else would you put on the 13 line with these teams?
We haven't mentioned them already. Murray State, I like them a lot. I was going to pull up their numbers here in the Ohio Valley Conference. I mean, the only teams I could see challenging them in the Ohio Valley would be, I guess, possibly Belmont. There was one other I was looking at. Jacksonville State.
Yeah, Jacksonville State had the nice win at Belmont this past weekend. Real nice road win for Jacksonville State.
Yep, indeed. And so it's going to be interesting to see Murray State. I know they lost. Was it a close loss to Middle Tennessee that I saw earlier in the year? They've started out 4-0 in the Ohio Valley. They lost by 4 to Auburn. They lost to St. Louis, so that's obviously not good. They did beat Illinois State, who we were just talking about. So, again, I feel like Murray State deserves to be right here. A lot of people have them as a favorite coming into the year. I know that doesn't mean a whole lot, but I feel like they have at least fulfilled expectations from my point of view. And, I feel like, especially, again, compared to the teams we're going to be talking about later, they certainly get better.
Yeah, the other team I guess we should put briefly, the Austin Peay team that we thought would be awful this year.
Yeah.
Head coach and everything. 4-0 start. Not that they've had some weaker competition home games so far, but look at the upcoming schedule there, David. Austin Peay's at Tennessee Tech. Murray at Jacksonville State coming up tomorrow night, and another really good fun.
Yeah, probably game. There's three teams in this league that are really good. Those are two of them. So, and again, one of their tougher road tests there for Murray, Belmont being the other one, of course.
But also keep in mind, Murray State and Austin Peay are travel partners, so they're both going to be playing the same, set of travel partners.
Right.
Well, John, who would you have up next here finishing off our 13 line?
Next team I would probably have is another team that's surprisingly good as far as metrics go, and that's going to be the Lipscomb Bison.
Oh, really?
You did not go the way I thought you would go, but okay, yeah. let's go to Atlantic Sun action. We'll pull up the ASUN standings here, where Lipscomb, after a very nice start in conference play, well, 1-0 in conference play, a very nice start overall to the season. Look at those metrics, 41 in the RPI rating is really stands out. But, you know, with playing these ASUN teams the rest of the way, the numbers are going to fall down, David, I think.
Yeah, they will, especially when you look at the overall Div 1 records, nobody above 500. So as they go through, it's going to sink a little bit. I like this Lipscomb team. They started off not at full strength. They got everybody back now, I think. They should be able to just blow through this conference.
Right. And they have the huge sweep of Belmont in their rivalries this series this year.
Yep. Yeah,
they had both those. And then the only teams, again, Florida Gulf Coast, I think, could trip them up just because, you know, that Florida Gulf Coast is, I know their numbers aren't as good, but I still feel like they typically play close games. Lipscomb has been surprisingly good. But, yeah, strangely, I mean, I still feel like Florida Gulf Coast is going to come out of the A-side. I don't know why. It's my gut feeling. I know New Jersey Tech is there, but there's such a huge drop-off.
I'm not looking at anybody other than Gulf Coast seriously in this conference. If somebody's going to knock off Lipscomb, I agree with you there completely. So who are we up to next? I think, David, I'm up to you next. Where would you go after Lipscomb?
Well, I know their conference is weak, but I'm a little surprised that we didn't get SFA in before now, especially with, like, some of what they've done out of conference, the win at LSU. Everybody's talked about how much they like LSU, the near win at Missouri. And I know they really, really blew it in their opener against – was it New – no, it was CELA. I still think that they're not just the best team in this league, but I think that they're potentially dangerous in the round of 64.
Well, I guess the issue we have here is SFA actually picked up a nice win tonight over New Orleans, who had been undefeated in the conference, and then were defending conference tournament champions. But Southeastern Louisiana, a road win at Lamar tonight, and you know, maybe the Southeastern Louisiana team, we got to start looking a lot more seriously at, Brian, don't you think?
I know. I was just pulling them up after looking at Stephen F. Austin and the games they've played recently. You said they did beat Lamar. They beat Abilene Christian. They beat Central Arkansas. As someone that has seen Central Arkansas in person, I feel like that's fairly impressive. Central Arkansas has a really, really good player in Jordan Howard, who is a 40% three-point shooting. And so taking them down on the road is obviously a bit of a head turn. Southland played, they defeat Stephen F. Austin. They lost to Louisiana Lafayette. Like Georgia Tech, they also lost at home to Grambling, so that's a good event for me. They also lost to UCF. So as far as head-turning wins, I don't know if they have any, but as far as how they've looked in the Southland so far, they have probably been the biggest surprise. I expect New Orleans and Stephen F. Austin to be right there. It remains to be seen if Nichols can hold on. Again, it's still early in conference play. I still also feel like Central Arkansas will end up being, if not in the top half of the league, or if not in the top, three or four of the league, at least in the top half. And I wouldn't surprise me to see, three or four different teams come out of this league when we get to March. But, I still feel like Stephen F. Austin is probably rightfully the favorite.
Yeah, and Johnny, I got the upcoming schedule here in the Southland, and if Central Arkansas can make some noise, huge week for them at Nicholls State, at New Orleans.
Yep, New Orleans especially is going to be tough, and if we're looking as far as SFA and Southeast Louisiana, they're both going to have some fairly easier schedules, although SFA does make the roadie to Abilene Christian this week.
Brian, let me head back to you. We're on the 14 line. We've put SFA in. Who else would you put over here with them?
I also have William and Mary. William and Mary.
Okay, let's take a look at that one then. William and Mary.
I like them too.
I like the pick. And David, we've been speaking all season about Towson, College of Charleston, Towson, maybe Elon. And suddenly we're talking William and Mary out of nowhere.
Yeah, well, they're not losing to crap teams. They're actually beating them. 11-4 on the year, and then you suddenly look at their metrics, and it's like not only are they – they're actually pretty good the way that they're going there. Like, you know, easily a top 100 team. They're the most consistent team. Elon's shown up in conference play. But you look at Towson and College of Charleston, they've both been really disappointing, not just in league play, but really all year. I thought that after Alaska, where College of Charleston just completely blew it, that they were in the process of turning it around and that they would be strong in league play. But here we are in league play, 2-2. So, I like William & Mary. I think they've been the best team in conference play, and I think that maybe they've been the best team all year long.
Losing a Towson is one thing, but dropping the game in overtime at Drexel is probably going to be the real killer for Charleston.
Oh, it is. And they'll need to win the conference tournament.
Yeah, here's that William & Mary profile on screen. We just talked about how much we like that Old Dominion team. They beat them.
They did.
Still a head scratcher, but that was the first game of the season. Since then, their other three losses have all been very respectable. They don't have any really notable wins besides Old Dominion, but not bad at all.
Marshall, they beat Delaware. Yeah, they just recently beat them. George Mason, that's right. That's another one. So, yeah, I mean, William & Mary is, as far as the Colonial Athletic Association, another league that, you know, because of poaching from other leagues in the past few years, is not nearly what it used to be back in the 2000s. So I kind of miss those days, but William & Mary definitely, I feel like, is the team to beat for right now in the Colonial. But, yeah, they'll still have their conference tournament.
Yeah, William & Mary is hosting James Madison tomorrow night. That should be an easy win. Interesting game Saturday, though. They're going to be hosting Towson. Also circle that Charleston and Elon game. That could be an interesting one as well. Two teams that could be in the near contention in this conference. I think there's a team that we are all forgetting here, though. I believe that, David, I'm up to you. John, I'm up to you next. But hopefully you're going to be mentioning the team that I think – I would have had a seed line higher than this, but go ahead.
If you're talking about the team that's in my neck of the woods, I probably would go ahead and add Northern Kentucky right here.
You still didn't put the team in, so let's go. But let's go ahead. Let's talk a little Northern Kentucky first. We still got one more spot on the 14 line. Hopefully, David will save us with Hank.
They got some nice pivotal wins at Oakland and Detroit this week, but guess who else got the wins there? And that's going to be their travel partner in Wright State.
Yeah,
hey, Wright Brian, State. How about that?
Right, yes, just right there with them, exactly.
And this is not a Wright State team tape that we've looked at anything in all this year, but the win at Oakland kind of, you know, hey, maybe.
Yeah, I know. And then they kind of bounce out here, 12-5 overall. Like, I mean, again, two of those are against non-Div 1 teams, but – you know, having a really solid year from a team that we thought would be about in the middle, if that good. But Scott Nagy doing a great job getting Wright State turned back around.
And in terms of the upcoming schedule in the Horizon League, well, travel partners playing each other tomorrow night in another very interesting game, Battle of Undefeated Teams.
Lots of good UTR games tomorrow.
Yep. So Wright State and Northern Kentucky, definitely circle that one. Oakland, I still like what there's their talent, but they just can't seem to get it together this year. I don't know what's wrong there.
Right.
But let's go ahead, David. Can you finally name the team that we have left out that should have been here by now?
Yes, and it is Texas Southern. No. Well, my next team would be Louisiana.
Thank you. Finally.
Yeah, I love this. I mean, I would have had them actually in – about a line higher.
So would I. That's why I was shocked we hadn't mentioned them yet. But there they are, Indiana. Let's pull up the Sun Belt standings here. And, Brian, what are your thoughts on this Louisiana team?
Well, they beat New Orleans, which is one of the Southland favorites. They also beat SELA, Southeast Louisiana. So I think they beat Louisiana Tech.
They did.
Nichols. I'm trying to think of, any – head-turning wins that they had. They beat a lot of Southland teams.
Richmond. So the Southland and the Sun Belt, you're telling me. Hey, not bad. Yeah.
That's right. They beat Iowa. So that, again, no, I was like, right?
Well, who isn't beating Iowa these days?
Right, exactly. Yeah. So you know, they don't have a lot of head-turning wins, but, I mean, the Sun Belt, as far as a conference, is, you know, ahead of, you know, the ones we're going to be talking about that are probably in the 15th and 16th. So I don't have a problem with Louisiana being the favorite right now, Lafayette being the favorite right now. Georgia Southern was another I was looking at, possibly Texas State, San Marcos. But I think in comparing all of those three, basically, I'd have to give the edge to Louisiana Lafayette. But I think it's pretty close. I was looking at Georgia Southern here real quick. Of course, I just turned away from them on my app. Okay, Georgia Southern, here we go. They beat didn't they beat somebody from the ACC early in the year? I know they lost to East Tennessee.
Did they beat Wake Forest early in the year? Yes,
Wake
they did.
In the fruit. It was either first weekend, yeah.
Okay, but yeah, and we've got up there the upcoming games in the Sun Belt. Louisiana's only game this week is against their in-state rival there, Louisiana Monroe, at home. They should cruise in that one. So don't know. I mean, maybe the best game of the week is Georgia Southern at Coastal Carolina.
Both Georgia schools are going to have to watch out because, in all seriousness, Appalachian State has been a snake pit this year.
Yes.
When they're beating Texas Arlington and Texas State, who are in the top half of the league, that's actually a good sign.
Brian, let me go back to you. Let's talk about some of the 15 seeds. Give me a team, the top team from your 15 line.
Okay, so I know we already talked about them. My top 15 seed was Florida Gulf Coast. But we already put Lipscomb in there. So another one that I like is Cal Santa Barbara, who I'm wearing today.
All right. There we go.
Yeah, so let's pull up the Big West here. There's
two teams that are really looking good in the Big West, but I agree that Santa Barbara is looking slightly better.
Yeah, it's UC Davis, yes, or at least I feel like. But Cal Santa Barbara, I'd give a slight edge. I know that there was a 2-0 in the Big West, which just started a couple days ago. They lost was by 11 to USC. They did beat Montana State, who I'll be watching tomorrow night. They beat San Diego, which again isn't a great win, but it's, you know, that they're beating teams that, well, they should beat if they're going to be on the top this week. So again, they don't have a lot of head turning wins, but they do have, they don't have any terrible losses. You know, the losses they have are to the teams that you expect them to. Their worst loss is probably to Pittsburgh.
Well, and they did lose the Big West opener against Cal Poly last weekend. That was that was a shocker there, actually. David falling that 80-79 game, but I still like this UCSB team despite that loss. I like it better than UC Davis, quite honestly.
Yeah, I think UC Davis is playing a little bit over their heads, whereas you get the sense that Santa Barbara isn't. Their ceiling is a little bit higher, and I don't mean that as a knock on UC Davis. If anything else, I mean it is a compliment that they've had the kind of year that they've had. But yeah, I think Santa Barbara is going to end up being the better team.
Yeah, and John.
Sorry, I was just commenting. UC Davis's best win is, I think, at Washington State.
So. Yeah.
John, there's the upcoming schedule in the Big West where UCSB has actually got the trip out to Hawaii this weekend. So that's a nice little road trip there. So keep an eye on that game. Hawaii is always tough to beat on the road. But I think, David, I want to bring up one other topic here in the Big West while we have it up here. Cal State Northridge, RPI 351, dead last in the nation. Reggie Theus is the head coach there, a name at least. What the hell is going on?
Well, they're struggling, I think. Haven't quite hit their stride. <There you go. laughs> their court is disgusting. It's in violation of one of the commandments.
Yeah. Brian, you're out there on the West Coast. I mean, is there anything? I mean, what's going on with Northridge? I mean, I really thought that Reggie Theus could do something there.
It is a little bit surprising that he bring in somebody that has, you know, somewhat recent, you know, NBA experience, that they're not able to turn things around quickly as you think. They are currently leading Long Beach State, by the way. So they've beaten Morgan State out of the PAC. They've beaten the D2 or San Diego Christian, but then they lost to, say, Idaho State, Eastern Washington. Actually, they lost to Idaho State twice. So, yeah, and the really bad one is the loss at Cal. Because Cal, I'm going to tell you right now, is very, very, very bad.
Well, so is Cal, Northridge.
It's Cal State Northridge. So that tells you all you need to know right now about, you know, what a rough go of it they've had. And yet UC Riverside still right now in the conference standing below them. UC Riverside actually did manage to beat Cal in the opener. So, but, yeah, it's been a...
And Riverside did get rid of their coach also. Dennis Cutts was fired 2 weeks ago. So, John, let me get back in here. Give me another team on the 15 line after the Big West champion.
I got to admit, I'm a little surprised we haven't gotten to them yet, and that's going to be East Tennessee State out of the SoCon.
I like them too.
East Tennessee State out of the Southern Conference. This is kind of low for the SoCon, a conference that we're more likely to see on the 13-14 line most years. But, John, what do you like about ETSU?
Well, I happened to see, well, not in person, but certainly saw him give Xavier a close call and actually also had a pretty decisive win against Northern Kentucky as far as out-of-conference play. But I think the other one we have to look forward to this week is when East Tennessee State and Greensboro face off tomorrow night to help clear up the log jam that's at the top of the SoCon right now.
Yeah, you got Furman 4-0 there. You got three teams with only one loss, including the Wofford team that beat North Carolina and picked up a nice home win over Harvard in a non-conference game tonight. But, you know, ETSU, two road wins this past week, David, at Samford, at Chattanooga.
Yeah, and, I mean, they looked the part in the out-of-conference portion, too, even though they didn't really pick up that many big wins. Furman, you got to watch out for. I think it's a two-horse race between those two teams. But East Tennessee State's looked the best so far. And who knows? I mean, they could, again, be another one of those dangerous round of 64 teams.
I'm basically just switching off whenever I put them in my brackets. East Tennessee State and Furman basically in the same spot right now. I mean, Furman hung with Tennessee. I think they only lost to them by five. You know, they beat the other teams they should have beaten. Like, so they did lose to Winthrop. That's not good. But, you know, the other teams in their league so far, you know, they're taking care of them. So I did definitely think Furman. The winner of the SoCon, I think, is almost assured that it'll be 14 seed or so, I think, by the end of it, because I think there's just a bit of enough at the top, like Wofford's win over North Carolina, to really help the league.
That's a good point. I think I agree with you. I think that could happen. And, David, why don't you give me another team on the 15 line here?
I'm going to go with a team that just about a week ago I called the biggest disappointment in all of college basketball. I still think they might be, and that's Bucknell.
Wow. Bucknell. This is a team we thought had a shot heading into the season could have been inside the bubble, could have been at-large bid worthy. They got a nice win at Army, then really, really struggled. They needed overtime to win at Lafayette Monday night. But they are there 3-1 tied with Colgate and BU and for first place at least. But John, it's just, you know, it's disappointing to say the least. I mean,
disappointing for Bucknell, but it's also created opportunities for teams like BU, Colgate, and also both Navy and Army still hanging around the top of the standings as well.
Yeah, and Brian, in terms of the next week coming up here, which should be coming up on the screen here if I hit the right button, Bucknell will be hosting Lehigh. They will be at Colgate. I think they may have one other game there next weekend at Loyola. Maybe that game at Colgate could be a battle for first place next Monday night.
Team we already talked about, Vermont, and that might be their best win of the year, so that's interesting. They also beat LaSalle, which again isn't a big hit, but you know, you're looking at them, yeah, I mean, they're a huge disappointment, and it's gonna be interesting to see if like Navy can make any noise. I don't know about Army, but Navy feels to me like this is the best they've been in maybe in a long time. The numbers don't look good. I don't know, they beat Pittsburgh, it's not really anything to write home about. Patriot League is probably, I wouldn't be, or would not shock me to see the Patriot League champion end up in the sixth.
I was going to say, as far as Navy goes, they haven't been a serious NCAA or even Patriot League contender since the turn of the century back in 2001.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, a huge game Sunday, of course, just because of, you know, everything else that goes around with it, but Army-Navy round one coming up on Sunday, highlight that one. It's always a fun game to watch, even if it's not quite what the football end of things is between the two teams. It's still a fun matchup. Let's see. I guess, Brian, let me go back to you here. Give me the final team that we could throw here on our 15 line.
A team that is in the league, the two teams I'm going to be watching tomorrow night, I'm going to go with, and this is kind of a close one with me between all of the teams in this league, but I'd put them all right here in this 15 line right now, Big Sky team, Montana.
Montana, I like that pick.
I kept deliberating between them, Portland State, and I wanted to say one other, and I totally blanked on which one it was. But those were the two I was really, really looking at in terms of Idaho State's okay, yeah. But I know Portland State is 1-2 in the league, but they have most wins in non-conference versus, like, Stanford. That'll be a good win later on down the road, even though Stanford's hurt. But they beat Cal as well, of course, is terrible. But I think when all said and done, Montana right now does look like maybe the best. I'm going to go watch Montana State play Portland State tomorrow, and so I'll be able to give you more dirt on Montana State with the eye test.
I'll tell you, but Montana State was my pick to win this league heading into the season. They didn't do much non-conference, but they've really turned around and played real nice so far in conference play. Portland State only won conference win, but it was a nice, real nice win on Saturday night at Idaho also, an Idaho team that you can't sleep on it either. David, I think we have a real nice fun season here in the Big Sky as we move forward.
Yeah, it should be. It's just too bad that home court advantage is not at stake anymore.
Dave, let me stick with you. Let's start off the 16 line. Two teams that are going to avoid Dayton. Give me the first of them.
It's kind of hard to say, but I'm going with Radford. Okay. Yeah. One of our favorite leagues here. Right in there.
There they are, 4-0 in conference play or early conference play. They picked up a win at Charleston Southern and a win over Asheville this past week. I like the pick, actually, John. But I think the most notable score out of the Big South was Longwood getting a win over Gardner-Webb, their first D1 win of the season.
Yep, off the Schneid and into the esteemed company of teams like Cal State Northridge.
Yep. And into the 340s now in RPI, so congratulations to the Longwood Lancers, the East Coast Lancers. Upcoming game in the Big South Brian, or any other comments on the Big South?
Well, I was going to say, got a little bit more on Radford. They've beaten UC Davis, who we'd already talked about. But I don't, I'm trying to think of any other notable wins they've had. VMI, they lost to Vanderbilt. Beat James Madison by one. But, yeah, I mean, Radford is probably the team to beat here. I'm not sure if Liberty is going to be able – they might be able to sneak in. These leagues are so wide open when you get to the tournament. And you have a team, obviously, that goes 17-1 in their league and then loses in their quarterfinal. So it's so hard to know, but Radford is probably, at the top of the Big South, I would say right now.
Right. Well, I guess we could circle this game code on Monday night, Liberty at Radford.
Yeah, and that's big because of home court stakes potentially.
Yeah. John, one more team to avoid Dayton.
It's going to be whoever comes out of the Metro Atlantic.
Not where I would have gone, but go ahead. I would have gone with a different team.
I was going to say, out of a three-team pool where you'd be looking at either Ryder, Iona, or Canisius, I'm still going to stick with Iona here.
You're going with Tim Clues and Iona, despite the fact that Ryder has a win at Penn State. I would have also
I like Ryder.
I would have Ryder over that. I'm not going to veto you because we're not doing any vetoes in this portion of the show, but I probably – if I had a veto power, I probably would have done it on that. Let's see here. We do not seem to have a Metro Atlantic standings. We need to try again on that one.
I can tell you there is a three-way tie between the two aforementioned teams along with Canisius.
That's still the Big South. Oh, there it is. Yeah.
There it is. Ryder, if you look at the metrics, they've got the best metrics across the board there. The best non-conference win out of any of these teams. That's why I would have gone Ryder. They just picked up a win at Manhattan and a win over Fairfield this past week. I guess we could take a look, quick look at their upcoming schedules here, kind of get through these last few conferences a little quicker. They're going to be hosting Quinnipiac. And, well, John, I guess we'll find out Sunday, won't we, at Iona?
Yep, that's going to be at least part of the three-way tie that's going to be atop the conference.
Yeah, I wouldn't count out a few of these other teams here. Quinnipiac, St. Peter's, they both have a little bit of life in them as well. Monmouth, not so much this season. Let's see here. I think Brian, let me go back to you for the start off the final four teams here. The first four.
I was a little surprised that we said that Ryder, the Metro Atlantic champion, would be one of the 16 seeds. I feel, or one of the two to avoid Dayton. I feel like the last one, in my opinion, that will avoid Dayton, but it certainly is going to be in this conversation, is whoever comes out of the Ivy League.
Exactly. I agree with you.
Right now, it's Penn. The Ivy League is not at a good non-conference, to say the least. Harvard, maybe. Penn and Harvard are both 1-0. The Ivy League has just started, and so it's really hard to tell how things are going. Obviously, the Ivy League's great because the incentive is to finish the top half of the league, so you get to last try and see who gets to come out. I'd say Penn right now at 10-5 overall. Their resume still isn't really turning any heads. They did beat Dayton, so that's their best. It'd be funny if they're playing in Dayton, will they have beaten Dayton this year?
Penn with a nice win at Dayton. Penn just won the home game, the home rivalry game for Princeton. Yale's been suffering from injuries all season. Harvard's been suffering from utter disappointment this season. Again, we already mentioned the fact they lost to Wofford tonight. But there it is. Let's take a quick look at the upcoming schedule in the Ivy League here, though, David. You've got let's see here. You actually got some Ivy League games coming up here with the Cornell and Columbia at Penn and Princeton, also Brown, Yale, and Dartmouth at Boston College.
Yeah. No. I mean, again, right out of the Ivy League there.
David, give me your next team up here. We got three left to choose from. We got the Northeast, Yak, and the SWAC.
It's our favorite conference. We love this conference. It's our conference. Wagner out of the Northeast. I know they're not in first place right now, but I was actually surprised at how well they did out of conference. I think that as it plays out, they will end up on the top of the league and into the tournament. Home court advantage.
Bobby Moe out to the 4-0 start there.
Yep, Bobby Moe is.
And SFPA did get a win over SF Brooklyn. And you see Wagner knocked off Fairleigh Dickinson and Sacred Heart. I think there's probably out of the 10 teams in this conference, 8 that could win the conference automatic bid, though. I think it's going to be pretty even year this year.
The Northeast Conference is much like the MEAC and the SWAC. It's very wide open. Yeah, the tournament, obviously, is very hard to figure out.
Some interesting games this week. SFPA is going to be at Robert Morris. Wagner, where are they there? They're at Bryant. They should be able to win that one. But you know, I've watched more than a handful of Northeast Conference games already, just a few games into the season, and every single one of them has been a fun game to watch. It's always fun NEC game.
Yeah, great atmospheres, great rivalries. It's just a fun league.
Well, John, let you make the final decision. Is it the MEAC champion or the SWAC champion at line number 67?
I'm going to go with a MEAC champion right here, and that's with a team that's struggling just to get some games under their belts, and that's going to be North Carolina A&T, because they're only 1-0 at this point because one of their games had already been postponed because of a blizzard that went through the area in the past week.
That was actually Winter Storm Grayson Allen, so you can call up Duke and thank him for that.
Yep.
Wasn't that the storm? Yeah. Miak, there you go. Bethune-Cookman and Morgan State after 3-0 starts. NC State 2-0 and A&T is 1-0. I don't agree with you on that A&T is going to win this. I do think Morgan State, Todd Bozeman, one of the better head coaches in the conference, was without one of their best players until just about two weeks ago. And I think that that's going to be the team that ends up winning the conference, though, David. You see there, Hampton Howard has a 0-0 score. That game was postponed from tonight into remnants of the storm that was still out there in the area. Yep.
Okay.
Real quick, let's take a look at the upcoming schedule here in the MEAC. We've got A&T is going to be hosting Morgan State after a really interesting game coming up on Saturday. And, John, I know you're going to be doing the write-ups for the under-the-radar games of the day this weekend. Is that going to be your game on Saturday?
Well, it's probably going to be one game out of about, 20 or 30 that I'll probably be considering, but I still haven't
made up
my mind.
But Brian, let's pull up the last conference here, the SWAC, where – We have a dream about this conference, and I want you to join in on Texas Southern went 0-14 non-conference. Can they do it?
Sure. No, they absolutely can. In fact, I think Texas Southern should be the favorite in the SWAC.
Oh, no. Not just win it. No. Undefeated in conference, winless out of conference.
Sure.
All the way. Like, all the way through to the tournament. And then losing, hopefully, to a non-conference team in the NCAA tournament. I don't think
they'll play another SWAC team in the NCAA tournament. That would be a shock.
That would be a strange development. But
one thing you can say about Texas Southern is they've been able to play, very good schedule. So, they've played a lot of really good teams. So, I feel like a team like Texas Southern, who tends to be pretty well coached, year after year. I think they'll blow through the SWAC.
Because one of our running jokes all year, Brian, has been that even though Texas Southern was winless going into January, they still had a higher RPI than an undefeated Georgetown team.
They did. And it was fabulous.
They still had a higher RPI than Georgetown, first of all. Second of all, actually, a tough week for Texas Southern. This may be one of the tougher weeks to get through. At Jackson State, was out to a 4-0 start. Then Monday night at the Grambling team that did beat Georgia Tech. So keep an eye on that. But I guess on that note, I'll go ahead and keep hitting the wrong button here. Go ahead and put Texas Southern in at spot number 68. That does give us a field of 68. So at this point, those of you that are following along can go ahead and look down and see the final bracketing project down there. We do have one more quick thing we wanted to do tonight. I think we want to do our top 10 list, but I don't actually have any top 10 lists, so we're not going to have a top 10 list this week. Actually, Salika, I think you put one together. Why don't you just run off for us who your top 10 teams would be, if you have that up in front of you.
If we're talking about my top 10, I would have New Mexico State at number one. I would have Middle Tennessee number two. I would have Vermont number three. I would have Western Kentucky number four. I would have Louisiana number five. And you could tell I probably did this before we went on the air, and that's I had Missouri State number six. And below that, Lipscomb number seven, Old Dominion number eight, UC Santa Barbara number nine, and East Tennessee State number 10.
The only exception I'd take with yours is I would have South Dakota State somewhere in there. I think they belong in that list.
I have them like at number two, Mexico State, South Dakota State. Yeah, I had Missouri State too, but Buffalo up there, Murray State, definitely. We also have East Tennessee State, Vermont. I debated putting Stephen F. Austin up in my top 10 too, but went to Mary, Louisiana, Lafayette.
And David, you got to do something about the intern who's supposed to be tabulating the votes and collecting top 10 ballots before we go on the air.
I'll get right on that. I've been very disappointed in the help we get around here.
He did a lousy job this week. But right. I guess on that, run through each of you if you have any other final thoughts about the entire bracket that we put together and anything under the radar. And John, let me start with you.
My final thought isn't going to be so much about the bracket, but it's actually going to be one of the better under the radar nights that we're going to have tomorrow, because right. we have Chad's probable under the radar game of the day that's going to involve Old Dominion and Western Kentucky. But as we alluded to earlier, we're also going to have some first place matches in the horizon involving Wright State and Northern Kentucky. And you also have the SoCon between UNC Greensboro and East Tennessee State. So definitely get as many screens, getting games onto your computer as possible for tomorrow night.
Oh yeah.
And Brian, how about you? Any other thoughts or any other comments?
One thing I'm going to really take a look at, obviously, is the Big Sky. I'm going to watch Montana State, Portland State play tomorrow. So I'll be able to really give a little bit better assertion of kind of how I feel about both of those teams going forward. The Big Sky is going to be a lot of fun. I feel like it's maybe a little better this year than it's been in the last several years. So it's refreshing to see. I mean, the Big Sky champion, to me, especially if it's, you know, either Montana State or if Portland State can figure it out, I could see them, you know, being a 14 seed if the chips fall. So that's what I've been looking at. The Big West, I'm trying to think of the games where we have tonight, Cal Poly versus Hawaii. It'd be interesting to see if Hawaii can kind of get back into the conversation. I know you guys are going to stay up for that tonight, right? It starts at midnight for you guys, 9 o'clock here, so piece of cake, right?
I may have to pass on that one tonight. Actually, let me go ahead and, for my final thought, I'm going to go ahead and do something we forgot to do earlier in the show, and talk a little bit about our team of the people, the Cal Baptist Lancers. Really, really disappointing night for them on Monday night. When they went down south to Dixie, below the Mason-Dixon line, they had to take on, David, the entire Southern United States. That's Alabama, Tennessee, Kentucky.
And there's some pretty good players down there. I mean, it's just,
They kept close. It was an overtime game, 68-65, but they fell.
Right. But, I mean, had all things been equal, like had they just been playing five players, they'd probably win that game.
Now, they've got coming up this next week here, they're going up against a pair of twins, first Azusa and then his twin brother Hawaii, last name is we'll see how they do against the Twins this week here. But 12-3 overall, 5-2 in Pac West, still pretty good numbers.
Yeah, hopefully they can get into the NCAA tournament and make quite a bit of noise in their last year here.
But David, any other final thoughts from you?
No, just a lot of good games. My thought was going to be just what Stalika just said. It's just a lot of big games tomorrow night. Should be a fun night of under the radar basketball anyway.
I guess on that note, on behalf of David Griggs over there, John Stalika is over there somewhere, Brian Black, thanks for joining us again. Make certain that you follow Brian at 350 jerseys for the number 4 Hope, right? How many jerseys are we up to right now? I didn't ask you.
213.
Wow.
213 was Harvard yesterday.
So we still got 130 some odd schools that need to do something about this here. Get him some jerseys. We just discussed a lot of those schools tonight. So let's get this done. Let's get that whole 351 collection complete. But again, on behalf of our whole panel here, I'm Chad Sherwood. Thanks for joining us, and we'll talk to you again real soon.